Hey everybody, welcome to the Daniel Davis Deep Dive Pittsburgh edition. I'm actually on the road right now, but we've had some breaking news overnight and I didn't want to wait until Monday to get back to you on this. It's directly related to the 28-point peace plan that we did a couple of shows on here yesterday, but we've had some developments both from the Ukraine side and from the Russian side. First of all, we're going to start off on the Ukraine side. This was published by the president of Ukraine himself, presumably after that video we showed you yesterday, where he was fairly defiant in front of one of his government buildings in Kiev. He was talking a lot about he was given a choice between being losing his freedom and losing his dignity or succumbing to pressure, implying that he was being put under some kind of pressure by the White House to either come up with an agreement and agree to an end of the war or lose the American support. We found out later that there was a 7-day period on that to the 27th of November, where apparently, according to other reports, that Trump had given him an ultimatum, either end the war on these 28-point terms or we're going to cut off aid. And so that seems to have gotten Zelensky's attention. Subsequent to that, according to what we're seeing on the screen right here, there was a phone call by the Vice President J.D. Vance and the Secretary of the Army Driscoll, who was actually in Kiev at the time. So presumably Driscoll was in person and Vice President Vance got on the phone with them together. And now then, well, the language here is that we're looking for a dignified way to bring this to an end, implying that the decision has been made and that it's going to be brought to an end. So if that's the case, again, I mean, at this point, I honestly don't care about what it looks like, because there's no good way to do this. There's no pretty way to do this. There's no positive way for Kiev to do this in this war. There's only the way to end the killing and the destruction, or to allow it to keep going. This whole point that Zelensky was talking about is a choice between either ending the war or continue on with so-called dignity just meant more of his people would be killed. So I'm all for the first way to get this done. Now, from the Russian perspective, Putin had another comment yesterday. We didn't show you yesterday. Really unusual from a couple of perspectives. One is that you can see that he's really serious about this. He's looking right at the camera, like he's talking to the listener, to you watching. Usually he's just on a video and he's talking to reporters or whatever. But this one, he's looking right at the camera, and he seems to be saying, or not seems to be saying, is saying that there appeared to have been what he thought was going to be a deal in Anchorage, Alaska last August. Now, you may recall Trump several times said, "I thought we had a deal." Well, it looks like maybe Putin also thought they had a deal, but a very different deal than the two thought they had together. But it also appears that we've been correct in our assessment that the Russians never changed their plan, and that hasn't changed anything now. And so Putin acknowledges Anchorage, then he also acknowledges where things are right now. And I'll let him speak for himself for the rest of it. I'll get back on the other side.
Однако мы видим, что после переговоров на Аляске с американской стороны наступила определенная пауза. И мы знаем, что это связано с фактическим отказом Украины от предложенного президентом Трампом плана мирного урегулирования. Полагаю, что именно поэтому появилась и его новая редакция, по сути, модернизированного плана уже из 28 пунктов. У нас этот текст есть. Мы получили его по имеющимся каналам взаимодействия с американской администрацией. Полагаю, что и он может быть положен в основу окончательного мирного урегулирования.
Okay, you noticed that he said, "I think that this plan too could form the basis for an end of the war." He thought the war could have come to an end in August. Just imagine how many Ukrainian people have died between August and today that could have lived if we'd have come to the same decision earlier when it was possible. And so Russia does not just categorically dismantle this and say, no, it's no good. Remember, I showed you at least 5 or 6 points yesterday when we were talking to Larry Johnson that said, hey, there's a lot of things here the Russians won't agree to. And certainly that's the case. But if it's 6 out of 28, that means it's a good foundation. There's many things they can agree with. And so the question is going to be, will the United States and will Zelensky accept the deal on the table here? Because the terms remain the same, friends. The June 2024 terms haven't changed for Russia. They're not changed now. And they're also the same issue is that they're not going to change on giving in on any of the issues that they don't have to, because they have the leverage, they have the power to continue moving forward. And the same deal is either you accept this deal just like it was in Anchorage, or we'll simply keep fighting, just like Putin himself said in Beijing about a month or so ago. We'll either get this at the negotiating table, or we'll take it on the battlefield. And I promise you, I promise you, I promise you, if they have to take it on the battlefield, they will not stop at the four administrative borders of those four oblasts. It will be to the Dnieper River, and probably, like Larry Johnson suggested yesterday, beyond that in the south, all the way up to Transnistria, taking all of Odessa, taking the access to the Black Sea, and then going all the way up probably also to Kharkiv. There's no reason militarily why anyone can stop them, and there's no logic why Russia would stop if they don't get what they're requiring for their security. And I get it. I've read all kinds of things online. Lots of people are angry about this. They don't like Putin at all. They hate it because they've been taught to hate Russia from the beginning. We've been told that they're the evil empire and all this kind of thing, and the unprovoked aggression, all this kind of thing. So people say, no, we don't want to do that. I saw a lot of people saying when they looked at Zelensky's speech, you know, he deserves some courage, history and courage, or prize for courageous vision. We should all follow that. Well, that's great as far as it goes. I mean, it looks good on paper. Zelensky intended that. He's really good at doing stuff that looks good on camera, but it doesn't comport to reality. And while people in America may look at the video and say, yeah, that's something that's really inspiring. It's only inspiring if it doesn't cost you anything. But if it's one of those that cost your family something and that people can literally die as a result pointlessly on a war that's already lost militarily, it's not brave. It's not leadership. It's not something to emulate. This war needs to come to an end, and it needs to come to an end quickly. And I pray to God that the vice president and therefore the president puts the pressure on Zelensky this time and doesn't take no for an answer. And if Zelensky doesn't be willing to follow this, if Europe pressures him into not accepting again, then he finally does what I think the only thing that is rational and moral for him to do, and say, we are no longer going to underwrite known guaranteed failure. You're on your own. I hope the president does that. He will get my full support and endorsement if he does. We'll wait and see what it is. But in any case, we just wanted to bring you this right now.
And also, last night around 10:30, J.D. Vance posted on his X account this post. Any Ukraine-Russia peace plan has to, number one, stop the killing while preserving Ukrainian sovereignty. Number two, be acceptable to both Russia and Ukraine. Number three, maximize the chances the war doesn't restart. Every criticism of the peace framework the administration is working on either misunderstands the framework or misstates some critical reality on the ground. There is a fantasy that if we just give more money, more weapons, more sanctions, victory is at hand. Peace won't be made by failed diplomats or politicians living in a fantasy land. It might be made by smart people living in the real world.
We'll keep it up on this. And if there's any breaking even over the rest of the weekend, we'll come in just like we just did here. And otherwise, we'll give you an update on Monday morning about where we are. Thanks very much, folks. I really appreciate you. And we'll see you on the next episode of Daniel Davis Deep Dive.